8-3-element-YAGI. So I put it on my link page, roy.at2gs.com. So check it out, and if you have any idea what the hell that thing is, that the stable diffusion thinks is a three-element YAGI, please let me know. You can have my email, or you can mention it next week. Anyway, thanks to everyone. Have a safe week. Have a good week. Come back again next Sunday night when we'll do it all over again. As Zick, K2RAW, used to say, be kind to each other. Please, please, please be kind to each other. And as Epictetus once said, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So keep your mind open. Try to learn a new thing every day. That's always a good thing to do. Anyway, this is AC2GS, formally closing this episode of the Limewire Technical Net, and I will go clear.
This is WS2N. I wonder if HRO has a couple left. I'm looking at it now, Roy.
It's really weird. I don't have the faintest clue what that might be, if it actually exists in reality, because you have to understand that this is something that an artificial intelligence kind of conceived of, if that's the right term.
It's really good. It's really funny. Wow. I wonder why they made such a close-up, you know. Maybe if it was at a distance, you know, you could see how far I'm going to call them elements go.
Well, that was the best. They give you usually four images. One of them is just a bunch of three visible sticks lying on the ground. Then there is what looks like a rack of panels. There are three stacked on top of each other with the lower one right at the ground. It looks sort of like a fence with three slats. And then there's this contraption that just goes at right angles to each other all over the place. It looks like more like piping than anything else. That was the one that I chose, just was the most unique of the four options given to me by the artificial intelligence.
That's really great. Oh, my gosh. Very good. All right, 73, Roy. That's it. Wow. Everything's set at right angles, too.
Yeah, just type in roy.ac2gs.com.
In a while, we'll think before we end it.
Yes, Wesley?
I was thinking about that balloon. I assume that Chinese, if it's called spy balloon, it's not that it goes randomly where it goes, but it has to have also some sort of mechanism that is pushing the balloon to the target, because if it's spying, then it's spying something. That is something that is of importance. So probably that was why Americans qualified us as a spy balloon. So it had to have some sort of battery and or a mechanism that was actually driving that balloon into given territory. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, there was batteries. Apparently there was a large area of solar cells that were keeping it charged. And there were small propellant systems that kept it approximately in the direction that they wanted to go. And they were hovering over military buildings and locations. So yeah, it was a spy balloon. It kind of self-evident. It didn't just kind of wander about the continent. It kind of took a sharp look at interesting places where there are bases and silos.
Paul, do you have a comment?
I'm sorry, Roy. Wesley, I'm looking at this thing. I see the three elements. The shiny ones are the three elements. I figured that out. Oh, my gosh. I heard about the solar panels and on the balloon as well. And I'm sure they have the capability of maneuvering this thing. They said you, like a rudder maybe in the back where it could, you know, move one way or another. I heard one guy say maybe it also has propellers. You can't use the word propellers to make it, to maneuver it. I don't know what a couple of propellers are going to do when you get into 100 mile an hour air, jet stream. So I don't know. I'm gonna sign Wesley back to you.
I'm assuming I'm not that good in atmospheric science, but at 60,000 feet, the air is much less concentrated or condensed or dense than it is on the ground. So I don't believe that would be a factor. Back to you.
Really? Even so, you got this big honking balloon? I mean, the square footage that that thing takes up. Even so, you know, you have that level. Probably a couple of pounds per square inch. Instead of, on Earth, we're 14.7, so you're probably down to a couple of pounds per square inch. But you add a couple of pounds per square inch to a large square footage, I mean, that's going to move the balloon just as fast. If the jet stream is 100 miles an hour, this thing's probably going not that fast. Hey, it got across the whole country in 3 days. If you would drive 60 miles an hour from California to North Carolina, you know, you're going to make it pretty quick. Back to you, Wesley.
What is your comment, Dr. Roy?
I'm sorry, I was fiddling. I was trying to load up another picture of the bizarre idea that an artificial intelligence believes a three-element Yagi to be.
Where do you find it off your page, AF2P asking?
It's at the top of my link page. You just type into your browser Roy, R-O-Y, .ac2gs.com, and it should be at the very top of the page. Well, it's close to the top of the page.
I don't know what to quit on. I'm on this page. I don't see anything that gets me there.
I'll test it out in a second.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just did it, Roy. I put in roy.ac2gs.com. That's all I put in the URL, and it comes up.
Yeah, I mean, that should work for you. It might be, the website might be a bit sluggish, though.
This website that comes up is titled Roy's Place, the King County Radio Club.
No, you're on the wrong page. You typed something slightly wrong. It should say Roy's link at the top.
Well, he's putting it into search. You got to go into the URL.
Thank you. That's what I'll do.
URL. Don't go to the Google link, because I don't know what it will come up with, but it's an alias to the DNS server, if that means anything. Yeah. You just type it to your browser at the very top where it asks for an address, roy.ac2gs.com, and it'll take you right to the link page. There's no other mess going on. It's just the first line is Roy's link.
Yep, it says Roy's links here. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Need more advertisement, Dr. Roy. This way, they're going to push on the top, please.
I'm not really looking for SEOs. I'm just looking to help people out on the net. I don't really use most of that stuff. In the old days, it used to be the basis for the science talk. But we don't really do the science talk anymore. But enough people told me that they like to look at the links and read them, so I continue to do that.
Hey, Roy, you know what I heard on CBS radio today?
What?
They said that the some doctors have a new procedure for these stents that they put into, well, in this case, I think it's in your brain, and this new type has some kind of a deal where any kind of blood or something gets out of this thing. It's some kind of system that's going to make things, I don't know, 10 times or 100 times better or easier than what they had before. Anyway, they experimented, or they actually did an operation on this guy down in Argentina. I didn't get a chance to search the internet about it, but apparently it was successful, and because that was successful, it's going to be a big game changer for these stents that they put in.
Oh, okay. I know nothing of it. I got to look it up and then find out what's going on. Every so often you get these kind of reports, a great breakthrough, and then all of a sudden there'll be some silence and some shuffling of feet, and a year or two later you end up reading, watching a documentary of someone who faked the results. But I hope it's a revolutionary.
Tony, I have a weird question.
Whatever it is, it's supposed to be a lot better than whatever they were doing.
Okay, I mean, everything can always be improved.
Yeah, and, CBS radio, it's pretty good. But, like you said, time will tell. I'll have to research. I think I'll put in Argentina experimental stent, and I'll see what comes up. I'll look at it during the week. Anyway, I'm going to say 73 and have a good day and good night for you. Back.
Dr. Ray, I have a weird question.
73, Paul. Have a good week. Yes, what's your question, Wesley?
Telepathy. Do you think it's for real?
I'm not quite sure what you're asking.
Telepathy. Telepathy. Telepathical communication?
No, telepathy is make-believe. It's thought projection. Little children are deeply confused with what's them and what's not them, and it's kind of a childish kind of thought that you could communicate with thoughts. Thoughts are very complex electrochemical reactions in your brain. They do produce a residual RF field, but not in any kind of definitive way that you can receive it on the other end.
So it is just garbage. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's sort of make-believe. It's kind of wish fulfillment, the same way as telekinesis is. People say that they can move things with their mind. Thought is a very powerful thing on a kind of philosophical basis, but you can't think things into or out of existence. You can't. You can send kind of nonverbal cues from one person to another and get a lot of information, but that's not quite the same as what they mean by telepathy.
Okay. So, I didn't check it. It's just that there was something when I was a child. I was thinking about it, and then about 17, I found that at least I found. I start to think, what is the tool of communication if that exists. And it happened that I didn't find any mechanism that is ruling it. So it must be BS.
Yes, I mean, it would be very nice if it wasn't. Very useful. But unfortunately, there's no real mechanism. Now, if you eventually... if you eventually kind of come up with those neural links that everyone is talking about but no one has any idea how to build, and then you put it into a transceiver, that is a kind of a trick version, if you will, of telepathy. But the idea of one brain being able to transmit using, I guess, electromagnetic waves, I don't know what the medium would be, and then another one being able to somehow decode it. There's no mechanism for that, unfortunately.
Thank you very much for the explanation.
PhD.
I thought the same.
Yeah, Jim, you wanted to say something on the subject?
I did. I have no solutions, but I will say that the theories of quantum entanglement are far more far-fetched than some, you know, CW communication between brains. I'm jumping in two different worlds there, but there's many things we don't understand, and quantum entanglement is one of them, and minds are another one of them, and brains are another one of them. I think we should respect what we don't know.
Well, there's a difference we see between saying that you respect what you don't know and respect what has never been proven. I can prove quantum entanglement. I cannot prove telepathy, and no one else can. There were people who put up $1 million for someone to prove it to them under controlled environments, and no one could take the money. So I believe what I know to exist, and I doubt things that don't make that much sense to me and also have not been proven in the slightest.
Fair enough with the proven part. What makes sense or not has less credibility. I think what makes sense or not is an innate thing that we keep to ourselves. But the reality is what it turns out to be. I think you're enough of a scientist to understand that. So we agree. I'll keep my mind open, as somebody I know often says.
Okay, very good. And by the way, if anyone out there is interested, I put up another installment of what Stable Diffusion thinks a tripod is, which is a semi-absurd looking device, which I don't think has any practical or real existence. I think this is just a delusion of a lot of algorithms.
More importantly, what will it give next week? It's a learning machine like a child, and if you've had a child, you know they're smarter next week than they are this week.
Well, I mean, that's true, although I don't exactly know if the Stable Diffusion algorithm is programmed to learn. I know that ChatGPT isn't programmed to learn. They got to be very cautious with conversational AI because people can inject a lot of weirdness into it. But I don't know if that's the case for Stable Diffusion. The problem, though, is that there's no immediate way to tell Stable Diffusion it got it incredibly wrong. It gave me four choices, and usually what happens is someone is supposed to select one of the four choices or just ask for something different. I don't think it realizes if you don't go down the chain with these images that they got it all wrong. So there doesn't seem to be a way of telling the program that they don't know what a Yagi is.
I hope you, as I think you do, understand the some nature of what you just described. It's a thing.
Yes, it's a thing, but it has algorithms and processes, and the capability of altering its program nature. It operates on a bunch of adjustable settings, and it can have a feedback mechanism that alters those settings each permutation, if it's designed to do that and if it knows to do that. I use the term know very loosely.
Oh, agreed. We're on weird territory here. It's, even knowing how to talk about it is difficult. Not what's allowed, that's a different thing, but how do you describe what we're talking about? It's very difficult.
internship.
Yes, Wesley recognized. Well, keep in mind, Jim, if we were having this conversation 20 years ago, people would basically think that we were a bunch of lunatics, because there would be no frame of reference at all.
Agreed. Go ahead, Wesley.
Yeah, you used the term weird territory. Well, actually, human being is always on weird territory. Because bases are the most important. So it's a foundation. A house is standing on a foundation. And then whatever else you can build on a foundation, if you don't have a foundation, then you can fly around with haunted houses, ghosts, and whatever. People are being superstitious. The black cat crossed the road, whatever. And that comes from all of that wage that human animal accumulated on himself based on a civilization based on the progress in evolution and in civilization. Dr. Wright.
No.
No means what?
Good question. I think, it's like there's no quantum certainty. The folks that think that there's some certainty about what we are or aren't quite as smart as they think they are. I think the human animal is something special and very hard to describe. And I'll go back to my thing. A man who thinks he knows everything probably doesn't. And I'm an explorer. That's where I stand. I don't know the answers, but I will continue to keep looking.
Mr. Wright.
Yes. I would think anyone who thinks that they know everything is, by definition, a fool.
Okay, so we're coming from weirdness.
Agreed.
Which,
totally.
Most of the people don't have a solid foundation in many areas. We have a chaos all around. We don't know what to catch on until we are becoming a professional in giving direction. So we have electrician, we have a plumber. He's extremely good in it. Then we have a physicist, but not just a physicist. Like a particle physicist or any other direction, or the doctor, but not like a doctor, but actually a doctor who is, like I had one, a professional in surgery on hands only, and that was in New York University Hospital when I had my surgery, right, on my hand. So, apart from the specialty that you represent, all around is a chaos. Back to you, Dr. Roy.
Well, it sort of depends upon how much you rely on people, how important their accuracy is. In the case of us, we're a bunch of guys talking on the radio. None of us, as far as I'm aware, are theoretical physicists. But, you know, you use what you got. John May, rest in peace, had this interesting, somewhat strange philosophy that he never accepted any advice from anyone who hadn't been employed in that field for over 10 years. So, you know, although he was a gracious man who would listen to me and accept most of what I said, by that definition, people should listen to any of us about any of the things we're talking about.
Okay.
Fair enough, but should we scratch our heads and try to figure something out based on it? I think that's a better measure. And it sounds like John was a wise man.
He was, and he's dearly missed. But again, this is a convivial conversation among friends, I hope. And the limitations of our understanding should be made aware. And, I am not the final word on class on theoretical physics, certainly by far. But I enjoy talking about it, sharing my understanding with others, and seeing if we can make sense of some of it, not all of it.
So are you saying you enjoy talking about the fringes of your knowledge versus the base and solidity of your knowledge? Are you saying that? I think you are, but no. I think it's a positive thing, but your response?
Well, I like either side. You know, when I'm talking about how you need 36 radials for a ground-mounted vertical to shield you from ground coupling, I think that's an accurate assessment. When I'm discussing quantum fluctuations and particle physics and entanglement, it gets a little bit weird. Sometimes the words don't quite suffice. So when you get to things like quantum mechanics or relativity, things get increasingly weird, and anyone who feels that they have a thorough and complete understanding, once again, is most likely a fool.
Well, thank you for that response, and I didn't mean to put you in a corner because I felt like I did. I apologize. But I do enjoy getting to the fringes of my knowledge, and it's pretty easy to tell that I'm there from a doctor. But I appreciate that we can dabble in that stuff. It's an enjoyable thing we do here, and I thank you all.
I enjoy it as well. I find that the need to explain it to others helps me to understand it myself. I try and adjust it so that it has the maximum amount of sense to it, if you will.
When I first heard Dr. Roy, I thought that Dr. Roy, as a medical doctor, is coincidental split of the circumstances. He's rather scientist by nature, and accidentally he became a doctor of medicine. But then, then I happen to know him for a long time. I do appreciate you being here, Dr. Roy.
Well, that's kind of you to say. I kind of started in on the technical net as kind of the ghost in the machine. No one really heard me. At first, I couldn't even get an antenna system to get on. I could listen, but I couldn't respond. And I started to send emails because that was far easier than finding a way to put antennas on my roof. And I think I became a mystery at one point. Dick wondered what or who the hell I was. Was I a physics teacher? You know, what the heck was I? So it was kind of an interesting trip my way here.
Yeah, I really loved you being with us, me and Katie to WGP. And tell me what problem I had at that time. You have that unique skills of putting fast, precise, and concise thoughts into the words. And sometime I had a problem to follow you, but now my English is much better.
Okay. Jim, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, that was a pretty big phrase you said before. I heard it thoroughly. Precisely. Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of good conversation that goes on here, and I enjoy it. I'm definitely a different technological level from you guys. No comparison. Far exceeded my realm of understanding of the electron.
But I get the basic idea more than the average duck. I think you get that. Thanks for letting me contribute.
You're welcome, Jim. Thanks for participating. Like I said before, I don't want this to be a monologue. I don't think it would be fun. It certainly wouldn't be fun for me, but I'm sure it wouldn't be fun for others. So that's what drives the engine here on the technical net.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with your opinion. I don't want you to think that I'm complimenting you. I don't. It's just 2 plus 2 is 4. Simple mathematics. You are really great. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Wesley. I'll try not to get a swelled head on the compliment. But again, I appreciate your participation. I appreciate Jim. I appreciate everyone who takes, who rather than sits back, because there is a surprising number of people who actually just listen. You don't know they're there. Every so often, they'll talk to me in real life and mention that they listen to the net. And never say anything. And that's okay, but I still need people to kind of bounce off of. I don't want to bounce off myself.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good night, guys. And to exchange is QRT.
Okay, very good. 73 Wes and 73 Jim. And hope you'll come back next Sunday night when we try and do it all over again.
73 gentlemen, good talking to you. Enjoyed this evening as usual. Good night. KD2BHD clear.
73 Roy, BB2BXO. Have a good night.
Okay, you too, Frank. Be well. Stay safe. And once again, this is AC2GS, and I will be clear.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Thank you.
Good morning. The time is 1:55 a.m. Mostly cloudy. Temperature 41 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is NY2H Mobile. Listening.
Good morning, NY2H. What are you doing up at this hour? KD2OGB Mobile, Southern Parkway, westbound, exit 43.
Well, I'm on the LIE, westbound. Round exit 59, 58 actually. And I'm headed to Florida.
Are you actually going to Florida?
Yes, I am. My first stop is in Maryland. I'm going to meet up with Carl and 2RLD about 8 o'clock this morning. We'll have breakfast. And then we head towards South Carolina, where we're going to stay overnight. And then in the morning, complete the trip.
I guess you don't want to fly. All right, very good. And you're actually 60% copyable when I leave. But yeah, just past the course, I am on my way to Mineola to shoot the morning rush hour until about 9 o'clock. I actually wanted to get out of the house a teeny bit earlier, but I was having trouble locating my sunglasses. And then I'm going to go home and do some work and get my room looking nice and manageable, along with my soon-to-be office, because I'd like to please the parents so I can hopefully, once my brother gets the new house, transition to a bigger room where I can have my bed, and I can have another room with my office and all my stuff. Aye-aye.
Well, that sounds like a real plan. Alrighty, good. I see a full moon ahead of me, high up in the sky. And coming up to 111. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be down in Florida for most of the month. And having my car rather than flying is giving me so many opportunities to, like, pack whatever I want. And, you know, just go at my leisure. But I've got a number of things I'll be doing down there, people visiting, etc. So it's all set. NY2H mobile.
Clearly way less than 10 minutes. All right, very good. I assume besides maybe making one or two gas station stops, I think you could decently make it in, I don't know, maybe 16 hours, probably the fastest time. The longest, maybe 19 hours, but you definitely have a long day ahead of you. As long as you at least make the rest stops along the way, get food and other stuff. So, yeah, I'd say this will be a pretty affordable long trip for you. I kind of wish I could go to Florida myself, but I can't really do that right now. I got to wait till October to do that. And I'll be at 35,000 feet rather than a ground trip in my car.
All right, very good. I'm at exit 53. I wonder if I should switch over. In fact, I'll be getting off at this exit. Probably going to take me down the back to Southern State. Oh, somebody's getting a ticket across the way. So, that's the sort. And okay, on your, I think you said Mineola today.
Yeah, are you taking Sagna Coast Parkway now?
I switched over. Is this better?
It'll make a difference, really. I just flip-flopped over, too.
She's actually telling me to stay on. I don't know why they chop it up this way. She's been advertising as a 53 for the last 10 minutes. Also, she wants me to get on the HOV lane, but I don't want to get on the HOV lane, so there you go. So I'm not on the SAG, I'm still on the expressway. I'm coming up to, just passing exit 53 now.
Roger, I just passed exit 40, Robert Moses. I find it funny how we're kind of pacing each other here a little bit. How fast are you going?
62.
I'm holding at 65, 66.
Alrighty. Did you catch that moon?
Yeah, I see it too. I was thinking actually about taking the expressway, but the parkway is actually quicker, because I feel like 39 Glen Cove Road, there's just too many lights and they all take forever to change, so I typically always take the parkway when I go to, like, Bethpage or Mineola. So if I stay under 65, we can pace each other all the way to up to Glen Cove Road and the Meadowbrook, and then we're going to have to split off from there. Otherwise, if I really wanted to be a daredevil, sure, I could go on the expressway right now and try to get side-by-side with you, and then we could just simplex all the way there. But I think that's a little too much to do. So, I'm happy staying on the Southern Parkway. There's almost no traffic in front of me. KD2O, GB Mobile, exit 39, north, westbound on Southern Parkway.
NY2H Mobile, alrighty, well. Yeah, when we're done, I'll go on to 52 and see if my friend Carl is on. And we'll be paralleling also. He's got an RV, so he's going to take a slightly different route than me in some spots. And actually, I'll be sleeping in the RV tonight. We're going to go to South Carolina out of Cracker Barrel. And he'll park there and we'll sleep in the RV and have breakfast tomorrow morning there. And then complete the trip. I'll be going into Orlando and my daughter lives there with her family, so I will hang out with her for a while. I'll be going to the fairgrounds for Hamcation. And then I got a bunch of other stuff I'm doing. I'll be going to the West Coast for a week or maybe half a week. Marco Island. And come back, and then my son and his family are coming down. My daughter, oh, we're going to have a lot of people. So it's going to be a good time.
Good, good. Yeah, the HOV lane, you don't really need to be in right now. Technically, you could, and you would be beyond the restriction before 6 a.m. anyway, since you don't need two people before 6 a.m. and before 3 p.m., but why would you really want to be in the HOV lane anyway?
Yeah, exactly. And one of the warnings about the HOV lane is this, that if, and this was probably more important maybe an hour ago or more, but I don't know, if a bar closes, say, at 4 a.m., and some guy leaves and he's drunk and he's driving in the wrong direction on the expressway, to him, the HOV lane is his right lane, so the probability of you smacking into him is higher on the HOV lane than it is on the other lanes, supposedly. It's just a theory I heard. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, but what are the odds of that happening? Probably, like, slim to none. So, I wouldn't really worry about that. The HOV lane being your right lane, sure, let's just drive against the flow of traffic as if we were in the United Kingdom. I wouldn't worry about that too much. But yeah, unless the traffic is, like, kind of a little bit, or there's, like, delays somewhere and you're not within the restrictions, sure, jump in the HOV lane, as long as it's done correctly. I've had times where I had so much traffic ahead of me and I couldn't really wait, and I kind of ended up having to enter when you're normally supposed to only exit that way, but, I typically look around me just to make sure no one's hiding before I do so, but you want to still enter and exit the correct way, that is. Obviously, the most important thing that I would never do, unless there's, like, construction or there's, like, a crash or whatever, and everyone else is doing it, is cross the divider. That's something you never do.
NY2H Mobile. Alrighty, Craig, yeah. I should check this.
Police reported ahead.
Police reported ahead. All right. I should check this route. Make sure she's not going to take me through Manhattan. What I'll do is I'll probably head towards the Verrazano Bridge, so, and have her recalculate. Not a lot of brake. Okay, he's on the right-hand side with his lights flashing. Yeah, he's got somebody. Well. So they're active today, that's good. That's the second stop I've seen so far.
Kitty 2 OGB Mobile, Farmingdale. It's 5 o'clock and it's almost the rush hour, and typically in
this
these hours,
is
it is rush hour after all. So
repeater.
Police are
good
looking for
morning.
Speeders, people are
5 o'clock.
Maybe in a rush or whatever, maybe someone's stuck somewhere. Police are everywhere. I guess one way you could have also exited the island if you wanted to stay on the parkway was take, you'd have to pass, I think, JFK, but one of the bridges just south of Brooklyn you could have also taken, that actually would be slightly quicker. I forgot the name of the bridge, though. Actually could look it up on my maps. I'm not even on my GPS right now. And when I use my GPS, I don't like to have the voice updates. It's kind of annoying. especially if I'm listening to music, so yeah, people are really speeding everywhere today. Let me see if I can look up the bridge. I need to have at least one hand on the wheel here.
I think you're talking about the Verrazano Bridge.
Good morning.
Yes, Verrazano. You have to take the Bell Parkway, and then you have to pass JFK Expressway to get there. So, yeah, you could have taken the parkway from Zagdicoast, but you kind of missed your opportunity. It's kind of difficult now to get to the Southern Parkway. JD2OGB Mobile approaching the Bethpage State Parkway.
No, it's not. I can take the Crest Island to the Belt, to the Verrazano.
Yeah, that you could do. Cross Island Parkway. I would have to take that north. In the coming months, hopefully, I'd have to pay my mom. Man, people are just passing me on the rate like crazy. In the coming weeks, if not maybe a couple of months when my vacation comes, there is something I would like to finally do that my parents are always twisting my arm about, is I'd like to try to drive off the island for the first time alone without any help and maybe go somewhere to get freights like Richfield Park, Elizabeth, or Union Station. I definitely want to go back to Richfield Park. That's a great place. Last time I went there, I think was 2019, I believe, or 2020, and I think I actually went there with a partner. But that trip is very easy. It could take only like maybe an hour and 20 minutes, maybe an hour and five at most. Because all you're doing is passing the city, and you're just crossing state lines to get there.
82OGB Mobile, NY2H Mobile, westbound, coming up to Sunnyside Boulevard. The Boulevard. What is that? Richfield Park.
Richfield Park. It's a station for mainly Amtrak, but a lot of the freights run through there, like CSX. There's a lot of good things that you can see over there. So that's why I'd like to go back there again.
Alrighty, I got it. I heard there was almost a strike, but I guess the government, I don't know, did something. Why do I hear noises here? Is my radio slipping out on me? So they averted the strike, but people wanted sick time and they didn't get it. I guess that's the other receiver breaking squelch. All right, back to you.
Yeah, all these unions just really want more stuff, and unfortunately, they don't really need it. Middlebrook, 4 minutes, Cross Island, 13, and JFK, 17 minutes, as I just passed the board. And I am 30 seconds away from Wausau Parkway, just passing Wausau Avenue in about 2 seconds. And I am now west and clear of that, half a mile out from the parkway, so say about another 3 minutes to get to Meadowbrook. Yeah, it's very unfortunate how the unions are just still negotiating and everything, and the companies just don't want to provide it. It's just amazing, you know. I got a question for you. I assume, do you have any other repeaters along the way on your radio? Because that's what I actually did in advance before I went to Las Vegas. I programmed in, I think, 20 different repeaters, and I was able to hit almost all of them from my hotel room up on the 34th floor of Treasure Island. And a lot of people were surprised that I came all the way out from Long Island. And I even listened to the Redbird Thundernet, I believe. That was Thursday night at like 9 o'clock, somewhere around that. I was honestly tired to listen to it because we had to move behind 3 hours since you're in Pacific time when you're beyond Arizona.
NY2H Mobile. Yeah, I yesterday programmed about 50 repeaters in a bank. and I can scan them, so I'll have my Simplex 5.2 on one side, and I'll have the scanning of the those 50 or so frequencies on the other side, and we'll see what happens. I also have DMR. I have a hotspot in the car, so I can get on DMR, especially on the Limeon Talk group, and I have, of course, EchoLink on the phone, and I have a way to get into our All-Star nodes on this machine and on the Plainview machine. So, theoretically, I can stay in touch.
Yeah, unfortunately, Don still has, still working on 440.050. I don't know what KQGLP's been doing with that, unfortunately. It's been down probably now like a month. We gotta get that repeater back up. My buddy Charles, KQGLP. What you could do, if it were active, I believe it's linked with the talk group, is you could chime into WD4WDW. That's actually the emergency communications group for Walt Disney World. A lot of people are active on that, and I would love to talk on that when I go down there. There's also a couple of repeaters that even cover Disney World, Universal, and even SeaWorld, and also Busch Gardens, Tampa. I would love to get a hold of those repeaters one of these days.
Alrighty. Yeah, there's a lot of repeaters in that area, the Orlando area, which I'll be staying in. I have a, I think I have three HTs with me. I have one in the, next to me here for the DMR that goes into my hotspot. I have another DMR Connect Systems, and I've got that program. We have a special frequency we use on these hamfests when we go to like Orlando or Dayton. A bunch of us have a Simplex DMR frequency that we use. I'll be using that one with the external mic. And then I got an old Baofeng just threw it in the bag with the charger. And, you know, it was something I need. But like I said, when you take the car, it's pretty cool. You can take whatever you want. I've got my laptop. I've got a power inverter if I need it. I got some apples in the car. I got some low-carb cookies. I've got plenty of water. And full tank of gas. My air pressure is good on the tires. That cold weather knocked them down a little bit, so I put them back up yesterday. I had my mechanic check my car out before I went, just to make sure everything was good. 82HB NY2H mobile.
Unfortunately, I'm a little far away from you for Simplex, but I'm heading north, so we might be able to sort of get a little side-by-side. Yeah, you definitely always want to have your car checked out before you make a trip. Here are some things you actually definitely want to have looked at before you make a long trip like that. The two most important things are your battery and alternator. I guarantee you, your alternator is going to be the most important and critical thing you want to check before you make any trip. And the second trip, the second thing you also want to make sure of, which if you haven't really driven that many miles, maybe like 2,000 or 3, and since Orlando is about 950 to 1,000 miles, airport to airport, I'd say, depending on where you're actually going, I would also recommend getting, maybe a couple of days before, getting an oil change, because surely you're doing mostly highway driving, and you're only going to be doing stop and go maybe like, maybe 10 times throughout the course of the 20 hours, but yeah, you definitely want to have your oil checked, and you want to have your battery and alternator looked at. Those are the three most important things you want to have looked at and or done before you make a long trip. KD2OGB Mobile on the Meadowbrook Parkway, coming up to you, Stewart Avenue.
I just passed Glen Cove Road on the expressway. And, yeah, my battery is fairly new. So, that's good. According to my, all indications, my alternator is healthy. Just looking at,